Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And as you're finding that, let me just get you to start thinking about this. Thoughts and beliefs are different. In that a thought may be true, but until it changes the way you behave, it's just a thought. A belief is something you do. This morning, my question to you is what are your beliefs about church? This church, a church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 9. Paul writes to them, to the Corinthian church, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly and are you not walking like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not mere men? What then is Apollos? And what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." You've heard the line. My mama always said, life is like a box of chocolates. So began the memorable line from the movie Forrest Gump. Sitting on a bench waiting for the bus to come, Forrest tells his life story to those waiting with him. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. This morning I want to change that a little and say that church is like the game of checkers. Too much like the game of checkers. It is easy to think church is about you when it should be about Jesus Christ. Too much like checkers. Church can be too much like checkers if you remain in the simplicity of it. Checkers is essentially a simple game with simple rules. Red and black pieces can only be on a square of its own color. A piece can only move one square at a time unless it's jumping over the opponent's piece. Jump and kill all the other colors' pieces to win. It's simple. Well, the church is simple as well, based on what one songwriter said. It comes down to a man dying on a cross, saving the world. And that's really the ultimate truth of it. That the church is simple in that we are about Jesus Christ. We are about what he has done. He has come to redeem us. He has come to buy us back from the sin that pervades our life. But it doesn't need to stop there. It should not end there. Paul helped found the church and had interacted with them since, teaching them and leading them. His accusation against them was, "You should have been mature in Christ by now. But you're not. I could not speak to you as to spiritual grown-ups, but as babes. You have remained in the simplicity of Christianity. You have remained in the simplicity of what Christ teaches. Yes, simple milk was your diet at first, when you're a human too, but it should not be now. The problem is you are still fleshly, letting those desires and impulses rule. And that's really simple. You never desired the solid food of the gospel. Maybe a word you know, if you've heard, is what Paul is describing that is not happening. And that is the word sanctification. We are not growing in Christ. We are not understanding what Christ says. We don't understand the Bible. Yes, we get the Jesus loves me, this I know, but do we really understand the doctrines of Scripture? And he said, you're still fleshly. You're letting those desires and impulses rule. You never desired that full food of the gospel, the solid food of the gospel. You know, I have come to understand that a little bit more with my personal health. I can eat a bushel of fresh fruit. And I try to eat a bushel of fresh fruit a day, and I find myself still hungry. Well, isn't that the way it is in our Christian walk? We want something more solid, but we keep eating that which is not. He said, you never desired the solid food of the gospel. There are two competing forces within your heart. They've been compared to two dogs. The two fight it out, the desires of the flesh, unredeemed against the desires of your new heart. They battle it out every day. But which one will win? The one you feed. Are you feeding your spiritual life in Christ? Jerry Bridges said in our book, The Discipline of Grace, he said, we should always view ourselves both in terms of what we are in Christ, that is, saints, and what we are in ourselves, namely, sinners. And he said, and men, if you've missed the last couple of weeks, catch up, but he says in this next chapter that we're to read that we are to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. Every day. Remind ourselves of who we are in Christ. Remind ourselves that we are who we are in Christ because of what Christ has done. It is all about the gospel of grace. Now, don't misunderstand me and say, well, do I have to do this? Do I have to do that? Only if you want to grow. Only if you want to grow. If the chief end of man is to know God and love Him forever, it happens through Bible study and worship. So what is your attitude toward Bible study? Well, it's too hard. I don't have enough time. Don't expect me to do it. Do you really desire the solid food of Scripture? The doctrine of Scripture? Or do you hold to euphemisms instead of the truth of Scripture? Two that make me cringe every time I hear someone say them is, God won't put more on you than you can bear. Really? Paul said, there's more than I can bear. If it was not for God's grace, I'm a sunk man. He will put more on you than you can bear. Because what he's doing is trying to get our attention to turn to him and trust in his grace. The other one that I hear is we're all God's children. I asked somebody one time, do you mean everybody driving up and down the road are God's children? Oh, yes. And I said to the person, you don't know Scripture. I was not born a child of God. I was adopted into his family through Jesus Christ my Lord. Do you know the truth of Scripture? Listen to other people's testimony. What is God doing now? What is God doing in your life? Even worse in a person's testimony is when a person only speaks of being baptized instead of that salvation experience that they had of repentance and confession. Because there's been a lot of people baptized that did not know Christ. There's been a lot of preachers stand behind pulpits that did not know Christ. It's not about what you do, it's about Him and what He's done. And so, do we believe that? Yes, it's simple, but it's not really simple. So what about worship? Does it always have to be just the way you want? Are you on time for worship? Are you prepared for worship? You say, well, how do I prepare for worship? Well, through by worshiping through the week, through reading God's word. And there always needs to be a time in your life of a preparation for worship that you stop and say, Lord, is there anything going on in my heart that I'm not willing to admit to? Search my heart, O Lord, and show me if there be any wicked way within me. Is church too much like checkers? Church can be too much like checkers if people see themselves in competition with others. One simple goal in checkers is outsmart the opponent and kill them off. Too often churches, people lose sight of or forget that we are on the same team. We're on the same team here. Christ is the head of the church, not me, not you. And it seems that people regard themselves as being in competition with each other. In the Corinthian church, that was happening. The one who spoke when the people were saved or taught them was seen as the head. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of this. I'm of that. I'm of this one. I'm of that one. Teachers and preachers are mere instruments in the hands of God. And it is God alone who produces the results. They were really telling on themselves that they were still spiritual infants by holding to that when they should have been more mature. And that gave rise then to the jealousy and the strife among them. I have to be in charge. My idea is right. My group is the best, the most spiritual. Too many in church see it as a race instead of an evacuation. We race, we compete with one another to get ahead, to be out front, to win. Instead, we need to look at the church as an organization that seeks to evacuate as many people as possible. We are seeking to evacuate people from the slavery of sin to the freedom found in Christ. A few years back, I heard of a tragedy that happened. A firefighter was killed. They were called to a structure fire. They thought that there was still a person in the building. And a firefighter looks at it and says, if there's one person that can be saved, we're going in. Well, unfortunately, one of the firefighters did not make it out. Evacuations are effective when all possible are led out to safety. And we are in an evacuation, not a race or a competition. So which way do you see the church? As an evacuation or a competition? Leaders emerge in every group. That just happens. Every organization. The larger the group, the more subgroups, the more leaders. This one leads in this area. This one leads in that area. And let me tell you, when it comes to food ministry, you don't want me in charge. You just don't. Amen, somebody said. Hey, I'm with you on that. There are things that you can do. Every person called to this church has been called to this church for a reason. There is something in this body of Christ that you need to make happen. Whether that's calling people who are homebound and going to see them, or going into pockets of lostness, trying to reach out with the gospel to them, or keeping kids or whatever it is, there is something for everybody to do. And that needs to happen, or the body is not functioning the way it's supposed to. Unfortunately, in every church I've ever been in, there has been competition between leaders, as if they were on different teams. We're on the same team. We're a part of the same body, and we need to function that way. Sometimes church can be too much like checkers. Church can be too much like checkers if individuals begin to think they're something. Other than color, all pieces on a checkerboard are alike. They can all be moved the same. It's the person making the move that counts. Only when you move one of your pieces all the way across does it change. You crown that piece, and the range of movement increases. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. In church, we all have different tasks and responsibilities, but we are all the same. We are all the same. We are all sinners saved by grace. And one is not superior to another. Unfortunately, sometimes longevity is too often equated with maturity in Christ. Paul answers the question of verse 5. He says, what is Apollos? What is Paul? He answers it in verse 6. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I was thinking a minute ago about my history in the greenhouse. You know, when you do all this stuff, you begin to think that you're really doing something. It's kind of like if you're a gardener, you think, I grew a garden. No, you didn't. You set up everything just like we did in the greenhouse. You set up the circumstance, the situation, for God to cause the growth. Lord, keep your groundhogs at home. They are not my friend. But God is the one, not only in the greenhouse or the garden, but God is the one in the church. He is the one who gives increase. We work with Him, relying on His power. We've all seen a ventriloquist act where the person provides the voice and the character of both the person and the puppet. The good ones make you think that there are actually two different people there. The puppet, have you noticed that the puppet is the one that usually has the wit? And it's the person that's playing the straight man? But there's only one. The puppet without the person is nothing. The building, the group of people without the power of the Holy Spirit is a social club. May we never be about being a social club. We are to be about the body of Christ. Yes, there are social aspects. There is fellowship that is to happen as we worship together, as we disciple together, as we evangelize together. But it is about Christ. Everything is about Him. Without the power of God, we are nothing. So don't worry or fret over the fact that you're the planter or the waterer or the harvester or whatever. Because God is the one who causes it all to happen. He's the one that causes the growth. We may organize well, we may eloquently proclaim God's word, but without His power, nothing of eternal value happens. Seeking God in prayer is the answer. So please be about that, whether or not you're able to do everything, the ministries of this church or not. Please be in prayer. Please be in prayer at about 2:50 Tuesday and Thursday that the kids who thought about coming to Good News Club will remember and show up. Be in prayer that when those ladies go through the bag from the fair and they find all the stuff that they gathered everywhere, that they see that flyer and say, you know what, I think I want to come hear that lady. Be in prayer as folks go into the jail ministry and pray that God will speak through them to these folks. And pray for all the other different ministries that the church does, whether that be here in Franklin or in Honduras or wherever, that God's power is changing people's hearts and lives. We're all in this together. So what do you believe about the church? In one way, it's simple. But too many want to keep it simplistic. Do you see the church as competition and need to be the winner? Are you relying on God's power and not your own? Is the church too much like checkers?